Thank you, Dale. Thank you, Miss Sharon. If you could open your Bibles to the book of 1 John. So we're going to be way back in the back in 1 John. Sometimes it's confusing. We go to John, but we're in 1 John, so that's different. 1 John chapter 5. And what the scriptures we're going to look at this morning, at least two of these verses, are difficult verses. They're tough for me to know and say, this is what they mean exactly. And that's not the way it is with the Bible. The Bible as a whole, I say 99% of the Bible is clear. And we know exactly what it means. I mean, when the Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery, we know what that means. You know, when it says that, you know, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, we know. I mean, it's very clear. But sometimes we're going to come to passages, to things in the Bible that are a little bit unclear, that we can't put our finger on and say, this is exactly what it means, like we can with thou shalt not murder or something. Okay, and that's what we're going to see this morning. But I guess we're in 1 John, but flip back a page or two maybe to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, just a few pages back. Because here's, I think, a principle when we come to scriptures that are maybe a little tougher. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Peter 3, verse 15. The Bible says, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. So that says that Paul is a brother, and that Paul was given wisdom by God to write these letters. And 14 or 15 of these books in the Bible are written by Paul. So we're talking about Paul's writings. Verse 16 says, as also in all his epistles, all of these letters that he wrote, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. So the Bible itself says that there are things that are in here that are hard to be understood. And then it says, which they that are unlearned and unstable, they rest. Okay, they wrestle with. Okay, it says that these people that are unstable, unlearned, they rest. And we think of resting, okay, not rest, R-E-S-T, but rest like W-R-E-S-T, like in wrestling. Okay, where you try to impose your will on it and you try to twist it. That's what you do when you wrestle. People do those to these scriptures that are hard. They try to take these scriptures and twist them or turn them and bend them according to what they want them to say. We're not to do that, especially to these scriptures that are hard to be understood. We don't try to take them and twist them so it says what we want them to say. And it goes on and says, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. So once you take, and we could do this today in the scriptures we're going to look at, we could make a doctrine off of this hard to understand scripture and say, this is what it means, and try to twist it and say that. But then we'll have to do that with the other plain scriptures. Stuff that's very clear, we have to say, well, that doesn't mean what it says it means. And so we base a doctrine off something that's difficult, and then we end up having to change all the other scriptures. And it says we do that to our own destruction. So today, when we look at these things, I want to say right up front that what I'm going to preach on two of these verses, verses 6 and 8, I don't know for sure. I have an idea what I believe they mean. But this is where we should be like Bereans. In Acts 17, verse 11, and we listen to what I say with all readiness of mind, because I believe I've earned that right in the study of the Scriptures, that you would listen to it and listen with an open mind. But then, you don't take my word for it. You search the Scriptures daily to see whether those things are so. So what we're going to say today, and what we say every day, anything that is preached, anything that's taught, you listen, because that teacher or that preacher has earned a right for you to listen, but then you take it and compare it with Scripture. And especially today. I don't even want to say especially. That should be every day. We do that. We always compare it to the Word of God, which is our complete and final authority. So knowing that, let's stand, please. We're going to read 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, we're just going to read out of respect to God's Word, because these are holy Scriptures. They're not written by men. And this is what we looked at in Sunday school today. They're not written by men just like, you know, Tom Sawyer was written by Mark Twain. These things are holy Scriptures. We're reading the words of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, we'll begin. It says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Could we bow our heads, please? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for those things that are easy to understand and those things that are difficult. And Lord, that we can sink our teeth into these things and study and learn, and that we're never done growing. We never understand everything, but we do understand a lot. We understand your simple things. And Lord, may we today see the simple things and rest on those and know that those are our rock. That's our foundation. May we look at these other more difficult things. May we look at those in light of your word. Lord, may everybody here be able to listen, but then take their Bibles home and study for themselves and to compare it with what your word says. I ask your blessing on my words today, that I may speak truth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. All right, so 1 John 5, verse 6. Let's just get right into it. Now, I preach through a book of the Bible. So we've been in 1 John for a year almost or so. This wouldn't be a passage that I would just pick out if I was, you know, going to pick out a passage to preach on, because some of these things, as we read through it, it seems a little difficult. But the good thing about preaching through a book is you can't really skip through stuff. You got to do it. And if God put it in here, we know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all Scripture is profitable. So we don't want to just pick and choose and skip around. Here we have to go in and say, all right, let's study this Scripture. And so we begin in verse 6. It says, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ." So we know who it is that came by water and blood. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came by water and blood. It says, not by water only, but by water and blood. Now, what in the world does that mean? That Jesus came by water and blood. I mean, this is what I'm saying. We can take these scriptures and we can twist it and say, okay, water is baptism and blood must mean, you know, the blood communion. These things must... And you start making doctrines saying that different things. What does the water and the blood mean? What we know for sure is that Jesus Christ came by water and the blood, not by water only, but by water and blood. And we know it's important because in verse 8, it says, "There are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one." So it's important. But what is this water and blood? I'm going to give you what I believe this water and the blood is talking about. Now this is, again, I'm not standing on this and saying this is totally 100%. You take this and search the Scriptures. Okay, but we know that water and blood, if we go back to John chapter 3, if you could flip back to John 3. The book of John, the Gospel of John chapter 3. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, Nicodemus came to him by night because Nicodemus was a ruler, but he believed in Jesus. He wanted to believe and he did believe in Jesus Christ. But he was embarrassed, you know, to be seen with Jesus. John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered, you know, Nicodemus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And so Nicodemus is thinking the second birth is going inside his mother's womb. So we're talking about coming out of the mother's womb. And Jesus said, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So Jesus answers his question in that, yes, you will be born once, and that's born of water. When a baby is born, the water breaks. We're born of water. We must be born once, but to see the kingdom of God, we must be born twice. We're born once of water, and we're born twice. That second birth is of the Spirit. That's what Jesus said. You must be born of water and of the Spirit. You have to be born twice to see the kingdom of God. So we get something there that, when I think of water and blood, Jesus came by water and blood, I think first of when Jesus talked about to Nicodemus that he must be born of water. So we're talking about birth. And in a birth, I'm going to go back to 1 John now, if you would turn with me. This is he that came by water and blood. In a childbirth, there's water and there's blood. Jesus Christ, and this is very important, Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He came, He was born into this world just like everybody here was born into this world, by water and blood. And that's important. And John is saying that that's important. This is what I believe, this water and this blood represents His flesh, His humanity, when He came into the earth, when He came into the world. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:16 that God was manifest in flesh. God was manifest. This isn't just a normal person. This isn't just Shelley Reed being born. This is Jesus Christ. This is God who became flesh. And that's what's so amazing about Christianity, is God Himself, Jesus Christ, became flesh. He came by water and blood. I mean, imagine our Lord God, the Creator of the universe, coming by water and blood in that messy thing called childbirth. But Jesus did. Jesus came by water and blood. And we know it's talking about Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. Now, this isn't the last time that we see water and blood important in Jesus Christ. We know that, you know, He was baptized in water. We know that He shed His blood for our sins. When we take communion, it represents His blood. But also, let's go to John chapter 19. If you keep your finger in 1 John, and we go back and forth between 1 John and John. Both written by the same man, John. And there's just so many similarities in his writing and his topic, so it's you spend a lot of time going back and forth when you're studying one of John's writings. So John 19, verse 34. This is He that came by water and blood, not by water only, but by water and blood. When I'm saying that water and blood represents His flesh from His birth. He was born into this world. God was manifest in flesh. But then in verse 34, John 19, verse 34. But one of the soldiers with a spear. This is when Jesus is on the cross. He's died. He's dead at this point. He shed His blood already. It says, one of the soldiers with a spear pierced His side, and forthwith there came out blood and water. Again, we see blood and water. And look at verse 35. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. So after this, when he says this man pierced his side and forthwith came out blood and water, John in verse 35 says, I saw this, the record's true. I that say it's true. He doesn't say that after everything that he saw. The book would take forever to go through if after everything he said, I saw it, it's true. I mean, but on this one point, this water and the blood, John stops and says, I saw it and I bear record and this record is true and he knoweth that he saith true that ye might believe. It's very important to John, and God inspired him to write this. It's very important to God that there was water and blood that came out of Jesus' side. Now, we know medically, which they wouldn't have known at the time, that if you're pierced and water and blood comes out, that means there was a rupture, that the heart, the sac, it burst. And so Jesus Christ died from a broken heart. His heart burst. And when out comes blood and water, we know without a doubt that Jesus Christ was dead. His heart had ruptured. He was done. There's no way, because some people say, well, Jesus, maybe He was still alive. They put Him in the tomb and the coolness of the air revived Him and He came back out. No, Jesus was dead. And we see that here, that blood and water. Now, John was a fisherman. He didn't know these medical facts. But God told him to write this in here. Hey, you write that you saw blood and water because that's what you saw. And this record is true. And he that writes it knows that it's true. I mean, this is amazing how 2,000 years before medical knowledge knew this, John wrote that. So that's amazing. But on top of that, this blood and this water, Jesus came into the earth with water and blood. Jesus left His death with water and blood. And then, of course, He died. He was in the tomb for 3 days, rose again, was on this earth for 40 days, and ascended into heaven. And He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Right? He's preparing a place for us that if we believe in Him, where He is, we can be also. But this water and this blood is important. We see it in John's writings right here. And we see in verse 35 there, John 19, 35, he's talking all the time about bearing witness. And this witness is true. He that saith testifieth of these things. And that's what we're looking at in the verses today in 1 John. It's all about bearing record and testifying. And the record, let the record show this. It's like we're in a courtroom. And we're laying down all these witnesses to Jesus Christ. And what is the final saying on this courtroom? We're going to see. Let's go back to 1 John. So as we're in 1 John chapter 5, picture us, we're in a courtroom, we're calling forth these witnesses. At the beginning we see that there's water and blood. And it's the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. What Spirit is that talking about? The Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit, who is God Himself, as we'll see in the next verse. This is God Himself is bearing witness. And He is the Spirit of truth. We've seen in the Bible, in Sunday school class, God is not a man that He should lie. Numbers 23:19. Titus 1:2 says, God who cannot lie. God cannot lie, and God Himself is bearing witness to the fact that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, He shed His blood and water, and that if we believe in Him, we can have eternal life. So this is where God's laying down His case for us right here on why we can believe. Okay, the Spirit bears witness. What is it? Romans 8 says, and the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit, when He's inside of us, tells us that we are Christian. Shows us that we are Christian. Let's go to verse 7. Verse 7. 1 John 5, verse 7. It says, for there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. All right. This is talking about what? The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. What's that talking about? The Trinity, our triune God, the Godhead. God is three persons. We worship one God. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. We worship only one God. We don't worship three gods. But in that Godhead are three persons, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. We understand the Father, God the Father. But then it says the Word. Who is the Word? Jesus Christ. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this Word was in the beginning, He was with God, and He was God. John 1 verse 14 says, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus Christ is the Word. Amen? And then there's the Holy Ghost. There's the Spirit. Okay, it says, The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And so we see that this Godhead that we worship, that I can't truly comprehend and understand, but I know that it's a fact. There are three persons, but there is one God. Now, I have to stop right here because there has to be people here this morning that when I read that verse 7, that your verse 7 does not say that. That your verse 7 just says, For there are three that testify. And then it leaves out the rest. Okay, and in Sunday school, this was brought up, not even knowing that this would be brought up. But we have differences. And in some Bibles, in the newer translations, this verse is taken out. That there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, is the Trinity true? Is our God the Father? When we baptize, according to Matthew 28, when we say we baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, is that true that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, those three are God and those three are one? Yes. So is this verse true? Yes. Now, there's only one person that wants to corrupt God's Word. That's Satan. Okay, if you read in Revelation 22, if any man will add to these words, God is going to add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If you subtract these words, okay, he could take your name out of the book of life. So, it is nobody by the Spirit is going to add to God's Word. Okay, the only spirit that would add to God's Word would be a seducing spirit, a spirit of Satan. And Satan is the father of all lies. Satan is not going to put in here truth into our Bible. He's not going to add something that's true. Just by logic alone, we can know that this is part of the Bible. That God's preserved His Word to the smallest detail forever. These newer translations and things, Satan is using that to corrupt God's Word, to take out verses here, to take out things there, to take down our faith to where we don't have much to stand on. 1 John 5, verse 7, and we can I've studied this topic from left to right, from quotes of early leaders in the church in the years 200s and 100s. They quoted this verse. Okay, before even these earliest manuscripts that they say don't have these verses. So you can look at it however you want. This is the Word of God, and this is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And we look at the Godhead, and we see that it is exactly the way that the Bible works, that these three are one. God the Father is no more God than God the Son. There's no more God than God the Holy Spirit. They're all God. They're all equal. They are one. But yet they have different roles. When Jesus was on earth, He said His will was to do the will of His Father. And He would pray, Father, not my will, but Your will be done. He was submissive to His Father. And Jesus said, when I leave, I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost won't speak on His own, but will speak the words that I give Him. You see this order that's in the Godhead, even though they're all equal. And that's the way we see our world today. I mean, in marriage, we have husbands and wives. Husbands are to lead their household. Wives are to submit to their husbands. How can you say that? Aren't wives and women and men equal? Of course they are. They are totally equal. But there's different roles. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are totally equal. They're all God, but there's different roles. In the church, we have, you know, you're given pastors and teachers and people with gifts in administration. You got people that serve in all different capacities. Is one greater than another? No. We're all equal. There's no Jew or Greek, male or female. You know, we're all equal in God's sight. But that doesn't mean we all have the same roles. And we see that in the Godhead. These three are one, even though they have different roles. We pray to God the Father through Jesus' name. We don't pray to Jesus through God the Father's name. There's roles. And the Holy Spirit helps us when we pray, but we don't pray to the Spirit. We pray to the Father as Jesus taught us to pray. So we can see a lot of things from this Trinity in that God is a God of order. God is a God that where He has roles, but there's equality. These three are one. All right, so there's three that bear record in heaven. Again, we have this courtroom scene, basically, where there's three bearing record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Those three are one. They're bearing record that Jesus is the Christ, that He is the Son of God, and that whoever believes in Him will have eternal life, as we'll get to. Then we come to three that bear witness in the earth. Verse 8. And there are three that bear witness in the earth. The Spirit. Again, that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is bearing witness in the earth. He's the restrainer. The Holy Spirit is here convicting the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He's bearing witness to Jesus Christ. No man can come to the Father unless the Father draws him. He draws us with that Holy Spirit. But God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's drawing everybody. We have the opportunity to grieve the Holy Spirit. We can ignore the Holy Spirit, but it is the Holy Spirit that is a witness to Jesus Christ here on earth today. And that's why it was an amazing thing when Jesus said, it's expedient for you that I go up to heaven, because when I go, I will send the Comforter. I will send the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is in each believer, and the Holy Spirit is convicting the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. So He is a witness. The Holy Spirit bears witness on the earth about Jesus Christ. Look on here in verse 8. There are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. Here we come to this water and this blood again. And again, I just look at it and I think the water and the blood, it speaks to Jesus Christ's flesh. It speaks to His life that He lived. It speaks to the witness that man has gave about Jesus Christ, which is given, you know, in the Scriptures. The men, the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The water and the blood, I see flesh. And man himself has given witness of Jesus Christ. And let's look at that. Let's go back to the Gospel of John. Because I know that if I want to believe on somebody for eternal life, I want to know for a fact, for sure, that this is the truth. That this isn't some fairy tale. And before I was saved, when I grew up in church for 18 years and then left church and was in college and did whatever I wanted for 7 or 8 more years, I just thought it was a fairy tale. You know, I did not believe that I didn't believe the witness of heaven, didn't believe the witness on earth, because I didn't know there was a strong witness for Jesus Christ and that there was records. And those records bear witness to Jesus Christ that He is the Son of God. And that we can look at this Bible and we can know that they're not cunningly devised fables, but we can look at it and we can tear this thing apart and really see, is Jesus Christ really the Savior? And He is! This thing holds up to any scrutiny. In the court of law, which we're looking at today, basically a courtroom setting, this holds up to scrutiny. And as John is wrapping up this epistle to 1 John, he is saying, he's putting together the whole case. He said, you know, if you want to know if you're a Christian, look at these things in your life if you're a Christian. But then he's wrapping it up saying, this is why Christianity is true. The Spirit bears witness. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost bear witness. On earth, the Spirit again bears witness. The men, the flesh and blood bear witness. Let's go to John chapter 5, verse 31. Throughout Jesus' life, he talks about bearing witness and bearing record. John chapter 5, verse 31. Let's start at 28 just because it gives us a little more. Verse 28 in chapter 5. Marvel not at this, Jesus said, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. There we see the submission of Jesus Christ the Son to God the Father. He seeks not his own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Jesus said, if I just came and said I'm God, then that means nothing. I mean, Lee Smith today, I could say I'm God. Well, does that mean anything? No, any crazy guy can say he's God. But if I bear witness of myself, my witness isn't true. Verse 32, there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Ye sent unto John, talking about John the Baptist, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. So Jesus talks about John the Baptist, who was sent to be a witness. Let's go back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Because Jesus said, I'm not bearing witness of myself. If I did, if it was just me, then you can cast me off as a fool, as a lunatic. But he said, there's others that bear witness. And we're going to see all that. We've already seen the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, these things. But he points back to John the Baptist and says, he first bare witness of me. Look at John chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. So John came to be a witness to the light, Jesus Christ. The Bible says he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. So John came not to be the Savior of the world, but he came to bear witness of the Savior of the world. Go to verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake. So John, the first thing he did was bear witness of Jesus Christ. He said, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness of all we received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So John the Baptist said that Jesus Christ is the Christ. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That no man seen God, but that Jesus Christ had declared God, that he was God himself. And by seeing Jesus Christ in the flesh, he came by water and blood, that he is God. So John bare witness of him. Let's go back to chapter 5 in the Gospel of John. So Jesus there says, hey, there is another that bears witness of me. Remember John the Baptist? He did. You beheaded him, but he bare witness of me. But then he said in verse 36, but I have greater witness than that of John. Who could be greater witness than John? Because Jesus said, of those born among from women, none greater than John the Baptist have been born, right? So, I mean, John the Baptist was great. But now Jesus is saying, but I have a greater witness than that of John. And he said, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. He said, you can believe John, there's a witness. Here's another witness, the works that I do. His miracles that he did. Turning water to wine, walking on water, healing people, raising Lazarus from the dead, casting out demons, feeding the 5,000. But then he said, the works that I have to finish. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, it is finished. That was the greatest work that he did, was to die on the cross for our sins, to be buried and to rise again. Those works testify of him. He said, that's greater than John the Baptist. He said, these works that I do, that only that I can do through the Father, the works which the Father hath given me to finish, those bear witness of me. So we're getting again. We can believe Jesus Christ. He gave witness that he was the Son of God, that believing on him, we can have life. We can believe John the Baptist. We can believe his works. Let's go to John chapter 8. Verse 13. John chapter 8, verse 13. Again, we want to figure out, can we believe this gospel message? If this is true, this changes everything in our lives. Can we believe it though? And he's saying, John's saying, hey, there's all these witnesses. We come to this in John chapter 8, verse 13. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. The same charge. He's saying, you're just saying you're God. That doesn't mean anything. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It's also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I'm one that bears witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. So he's saying there that there's another witness. It's the Father, and we saw that in 1 John 5, verse 7. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. But Jesus said, here I am, my Father. And John later on, he says, are one. But here he said, the Father bears witness of me. How did the Father bear witness? Remember when he got baptized, what did the voice from heaven say? No. No, he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And the Spirit came down like a dove and abode upon him, right? And so God the Father bear witness of Jesus Christ. Let's go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 25. And when that boy grows up, I'm going to have somebody saying amens. He's going to be my biggest fan. John 10, verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Jesus Christ was aware that we need to see something besides him just saying, I'm God. He said, the works that I do, they bear witness of me. Let's go to John 15. John 15, verse 26. You can just see a courtroom, all these things brought up as facts, as evidence, to bear witness that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. John 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, and who's the Comforter? The Holy Spirit. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. So the Holy Spirit is going to testify. The Holy Spirit bears witness through the disciples. And Jesus said, you also, disciples, you will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So we got the testimony of the disciples. And they wrote it down through the work of the Holy Spirit through them. Should we believe the testimony of the disciples? Yeah. And they died for their testimony. They died for their witness. They took punishment for this. I mean, they sealed their testimony with their blood. They were the only ones that could know, is this truly, did this really, really happen? Did Jesus Christ rise from the dead? Thomas, he didn't believe it. It wasn't like these guys were wanting to fall for a lie. I mean, they were doubting. They were pessimistic. They were scared. They weren't thinking of any of this kind of stuff, even when everybody told him, all of Thomas's friends told him, Jesus is alive. I don't believe it. I mean, these people were pessimistic, just like we would be if somebody said they rose again. None of us would say, oh, sure, I'm glad that happened. We would want to see it. And they tested it. And it says, Jesus said, you will bear witness because you've been with me from the beginning. And they did bear witness. They died and shed their blood for their witness of Jesus Christ. Let's go to 1 John again. 1 John chapter 1. So we got the testimony of John the Baptist, of God the Father, of the works that he did, of the Holy Spirit. We got the testimony of the disciples. We got the testimony of his word that's written here. We're not just taking the testimony of one man. And Jesus said, if I just bear witness of myself, my record's not true. But we don't have just him saying this. That's what you think in Islam, that's what we have. We have Muhammad, who says that he saw the angel Gabriel in a cave and told him what to write. Nobody else saw it. Never did any miracles. Nothing ever happened. You're just taking the witness of one man. All the other religions are taking the witness of one man and saying, sure, I'll follow Buddha. Sure, I'll follow Muhammad. Not so with Jesus Christ. He didn't just come and say it. There's witnesses all around that say it. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. John writes, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. John actually handled Jesus Christ. He touched him. He looked upon him. He heard him. He lived with him. Verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. We have John the Apostle, his witness of seeing Jesus Christ, living with Jesus Christ, seeing Him rise again. Let's go back to chapter 5 now. 1 John chapter 5, verse 9. So we went through and we've seen these different witnesses throughout Jesus' life that can be called forward. It says, if we receive the witness of men, and we do. I received the witness. If the world today, if there was going to be three or four of us here that would say, hey, I saw, you know, your wife running on the road yesterday. If three or four guys said that, or even two guys said that, I'd say, well, that's probably true. You know, if they were reliable men. We receive the testimony of men. That's what our court system is based off of. Receiving the testimony of men. But it says if we do that, the witness of God is greater. Our courts are built on the testimony of men, but we don't have just the witness of men, we have the witness of God. And for this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. Verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. If we believe on Jesus Christ, who do we have in ourselves? The Holy Spirit. All throughout these, especially chapter 3, 4, and 5 of 1 John, we have seen these references to God in us, the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. We have that witness, the Spirit, in ourselves. It says, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar. If we do not believe this testimony that we're given, that you're hearing this morning from the Word of God, you're calling God a liar. You're not calling me a liar because all I'm doing is reading the Scriptures. To say that Jesus is not the Christ, He's not the Son of God, He did not come to earth in the flesh, by blood and water, He did not die by blood and water, is not to call anybody a liar but God, because God has bared witness. So it says, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And God gave us a beautiful record of His Son, from Genesis to Revelation. I mean, the prophecies that are fulfilled in this book, from beginning to end, are amazing, unexplainable, other than God wrote this book. He has given us the record of His Son. And this is the record, verse 11, that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. This is what it's all about with the Bible, is dealing with our sin and being able to live with God for eternity. That's what was going to happen at the beginning in the Garden of Eden. They were going to live with God for eternity. There was a tree of life there that if they would have ate of, they would have lived forever. But there was sin that separated them from God. And the rest of the Bible talks about how we can come back to living forever with God as it was intended in the first place. And in Revelation 22, which on Wednesday nights we're preaching through, we see that tree of life is going to be there again. And we will eat of that. We'll drink of the river of water of life. And we're going to live forever with God. But from the beginning to the end, it's talking about how we can live. This record is about living for eternal life with God. And this life, it says, is in His Son. That's the record of the Bible, is that we are not on this earth, you know, just made of molecules and atoms. We don't have a soul, we're going to die, just go to the earth and we're done. That's what science would say. You know, that we're just glorified animals. And that we might as well just live it up while we're here because this is all there is. That's not the record the Bible says. The Bible says, no, the record of God is that He has given us eternal life. And we're going to live eternally in heaven or we're going to live eternally in hell in torment. That's the record of God. And it says, and this life is in His Son. That's the record, and that's what sets the Bible apart. A lot of people would even agree, yeah, I think we have souls. The Hindus would say, yes, we have souls, but we're going to be reincarnated again and again and again and again. And there's no such thing as one God. There's many gods. Whatever you want to do, just the Bible says this life is in His Son. That's the record that was given. Why should we believe that record? Because there's multiple witnesses. There's the water, there's the blood, there's the Spirit, there's the Father, there's the Word, there's the Holy Ghost, there's the testimony of men. There's all that we've seen throughout the Bible, this record of God, of His Son, this life is in His Son, and it's all wrapped up in verse 12. This is the sum of the matter. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. When we talk about things that are hard to understand, the water and the blood and these things, but the majority of the Bible is black and white, and that's black and white. If you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. Bo can understand that. My two-year-old. If you have Jesus Christ, you're going to live eternally. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you're not. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. He's the door. If any man enter in by Him, he will be saved. It's Jesus Christ. And that's the message. That's the record that was given throughout this section. So we don't need to get caught up on things that, well, what is exactly this? We know in black and white, Jesus Christ is the way. If you have the Son, Jesus Christ, you have life. And that's the question this morning. Do you have Jesus Christ in your life? Have you believed on His name? There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. We cannot earn our way to heaven. Because look at verse 11 one more time. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. He's given it to us. Now, if I go and work, and I make an agreement, you know, with John, that I'll cut down the tree in his front yard, and I'll work, and if he'll pay me $75. After I cut down that tree, and he pays me $75, did he give me that money? No, I earned it. He was an honest man and gave me the money that he was supposed to. But I can't say thank you for the gift. It wasn't given, it was earned. But the Bible says that God has given us eternal life. We cannot earn it. We can't earn it through going to church on Sundays. We can't earn it through being baptized as a baby. We can't earn it by being baptized when we're an adult. We don't earn it. It's a gift that's given to us. Eternal life. And it's through His Son. Through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus Christ alone. Have you asked Jesus Christ to save you? Have you came to God and admitted that you are a sinner and to have mercy on a poor sinner like me? And ask Jesus Christ to save you. Ask God through the blood that was shed by His Son to save you in Jesus Christ with His shed blood. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He gives you free will. If that Holy Spirit is tugging on you today, you can grieve the Holy Spirit or you can obey it. And you can pray to God. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe on the name of Jesus Christ, and I want to follow You. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank You for Your record. I just thank You that I can get up here and preach Your Word, and that I can preach it and know that it's true because of these witnesses You have given, the testimonies You have given. And Lord, I thank You for saving a poor sinner like me, and I thank You for giving salvation to all these brothers and sisters in here today. And You did not have to do it. We're wretched. And we don't deserve it. But I thank You. And Lord, I do ask that Your Spirit would convict us. If there's anybody in here that is not a believer, if they do not have the Son and they do not have life, that they would today turn to Your Son for salvation. And I would also ask that Your Holy Spirit would convict us of sin. Even as believers right now, we sin. If any man say he has no sin, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. But convict us in our lives of where we can change and need to change to live according to Your rules. With all Your commandments are pure. Lord, we want to live the way You want us to live. We want to be a testimony to You and to live for You as our Lord and our Savior and our Master. So Lord, work on me. Work on everybody here. Allow us this week to be in the Word, to be in prayer, to listen to things that were said today, but to search these Scriptures to see whether they're so. Lord, help us as a church to continue to grow, to continue to reach out, and to
do what you want us to do here on this world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.